You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
I really believe that we are God's handiwork. And I really want all of us to believe that we're God's handiwork. Because as we believe that, all sorts of things flow from it. We're his masterpieces, actually. We're his masterpieces. Now, we don't always feel like that, or I don't, and many of us don't. But the truth is, God, we are God's handiwork, that we are his masterpieces, and he wants to model in us more and more of his son, Jesus. He wants us to be more and more Christ-like. Are you believing that? I hope so, because the attitudes, Jesus' lifestyle, his actions, all flow out of that. As we are open to God, as we open to his work in our lives, his handiwork, his work in our lives by his Spirit, modeling us to be like Jesus, it impacts our attitudes, our lifestyles, what we do, how we go about our lives. And it isn't like a big self-improvement effort on our behalf. It's not religious set of rules, the things you do and you don't. It's not about that. It's more about an encounter with Jesus. It's about growing in our relationship with Jesus and letting him rub off on us, if you like, in community. That's what the Christian life is about. It's about us being impacted, influenced through a loving relationship with the Lord, where he's for us, he wants to heal us, to mend our wounds, and to make us more and more like Christ. And his Spirit gently knocks off our rough edges, heals our wounds. And we actually, I think, become the people that he planned for us to be at the beginning. The world, our upbringings can affect us, can wound us, can harm us, can give us all sorts of impact. But his work by his Spirit is wanting to create within us the people that he has called us to be. Each unique, each with their own gifts, each with their own sense of purpose. And that's the work he wants to do in our hearts. And it is a beautiful thing. He is the one who can look at a dirty rock and see the diamond that's within it. He's the one who can look at a root or a little shoot and know the oak that could grow from it. And that's his heart for all of us, each of us, every one of us, that we would become the person that he designed us to be in the first place. And I believe that that's a work that he's going to be doing in us and amongst us over this term that is going to be really exciting and enabling and freeing and bring life to us and a fresh sense of energy and momentum and life because it's a work that he's doing and we're his handiworks. Next week we have Shagan coming, who's a guest speaker. He spoke at the Commission Festival. We're going to really enjoy that. Hayley and I are going to miss it, but Rick will be back to welcome him. He's been before, if you remember. He's going to really serve us well. And then the week after, Rick is going to unpack some more of the exciting developments that we're looking to bring into play through this term as we gather in our growth groups and as we grow as disciples. So he's going to be speaking a little bit more about that. We've landed on a fabulous, exciting program that we want to bring into I believe as we go through it, we're going to find ways to be with Jesus, to become like him, and to do as he did in ways that we have never experienced in the last few decades even. I think it's going to be a powerful resource for us as a church. You'll have to wait for Rick to outline all the details next Sunday week. But now I just want to say that Farnham needs us to be with Jesus. Farnham needs us to become more like Jesus. Farnham needs us to do as Jesus did. And that's the journey we want to be on through this term. you know what? Our families need us to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, to do as Jesus did. Our workplaces do. Our schools, our colleges, our streets, our town needs us to be with Jesus, to become more like him and to do as he did. Because then the town, our streets, our families will see more of Jesus. Because we embody Jesus into this area, into these different situations. And I just feel super excited at the moment that the Spirit of God is going to do a wonderful work amongst us over these next few months. We're his handiwork. We're work in progress, yes. Wherever we are on our journey, whatever we're feeling about ourselves, even if we've wandered away from the Lord in reality, I think this is a moment to press the refresh button, the reset button. Wherever we are, to do that and to say, no, I'm going to go about things differently. I'm going to be intentional about being with Jesus, becoming like him and doing what he does. Amen?
Amen.
That's why I was so thrilled when Chrissy said, why don't we make Just Worship a seeking God session tonight? Because I'd love us all to be there, to worship, to be with Jesus, and then to pray that God would do this work in us, individually and as a church together. So do get along if you can, because I deeply believe the Lord is wanting to fill us afresh, to heal us, to bless us, to speak to us in these next months. And I have to say, as I've sort of been thinking and praying and planning, I do just have that sense of God coming on us afresh in this new season. And I think God is going to do mighty things. I've sort of been seeking him myself and asking him about what we should be doing and what his heart for Jubilee and what's his heart for the town. And each time I just have this reassuring sense from the Lord that he is about a mighty work amongst us that is going to utterly surprise us about what he's going to do with us and amongst us. And he's been so encouraging to me, so faithful to me in how he's been communicating that I feel this growing sense of excitement that this is going to be a season that we look back on and say, wow. The seasons over the 20 years we've had Jubilee where you think, wow, God was at work there, had to be God. I think we're entering one of those as we go into this next term. And I think it's for individuals, it's for each of us. I think God is going to be doing a mighty work amongst us. I think that would be in what Rick talks about in a couple of weeks around how we can become more like Jesus, do what he's doing. But I think it's also about not just our gathering and our growing, but our going out into the town. We're God's masterpieces modeled for mission. That's what I was saying last week. I think our missional activity, our outreach into the town, I think God's heart's on for us for these next few months. Just look at our banners. Each week we have these. And weren't they put up nicely today? I have to say, Rob, thank you. Just the right angle. Right order of colours, fabulous. Let's just read these together, shall we? Just the Bible verses. Love. The great command. And then the great commission. Then Jesus. I don't know if they get you excited, but It is a command and a commission of Jesus. The Jesus who we talked about last week, who's unrivaled. The Jesus who is mighty, majestic. He gives us a command and a commission. And if we own this, boy, oh boy, things are going to happen. So through the autumn, we want to be with Jesus, become more like him, and to do as he did. That's the sort of overall theme that we're looking at. But I hope the Bible verse that we're looking at, our living verse, is an encouragement, because it can seem too big a job, can't it? But do you know what? When the Spirit of God came on those first disciples, they received a power that made them witnesses. In their local town, the towns around, and the rest of the world that includes us. And as we're open to the Spirit in these next few weeks and months, God is going to do a mighty, mighty work amongst us. So this morning, it's a little bit different sort of message, as it were. It's a little bit more informational, a little few updates, an important announcement at the end, just to keep you all awake. But I hope that as I share some of the things that are going to be happening, that it captures your imagination, that more importantly, it captures your prayer. And in all of it, there's a sense of how can I get involved, Lord? What should I do? How can I be involved in what you're doing in Jubilee at this time? So slightly different, a little bit more information. Hopefully, I'm not going to say lots of details about everything, but just trying to point, fly some kites about different things that we feel are going to be happening. And then as things unfold through the term, all the information about all the different activities are on Church Suite and in our weekly newsletter. So if you don't get that, then give us your name and we can do that, or get your communication permissions right. Because some of you have said that you don't want to get things, and probably you don't even know that you have said that you don't want to get things. And so, anyway, we need to, if you're not getting emails, let me know and we can sort that out. But just a couple of sort of updates and sort of newsy things, just information, things that are happening, things that sort of point to that last little phrase where Jesus said, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I told you about the coffee machine a little while ago. Do you remember that little story? We wanted a coffee machine for the Wade and Christian Center. I tried to buy one. We couldn't afford it. Hayley then had a friend who was setting a coffee shop, and she said I should meet with him. So I met with George, and just happened to send him the sort of brochure that we created for the Wade and Christian Center, and this led to a conversation about all the sort of brilliant things that we do at Wade and Christian Centre, the Den and the Jabal, the youth, all that sort of stuff. And he said, I want to sell you this coffee machine, but I'm just really interested in what you were doing. I never knew that all this was happening in this area. And I'm a town councillor, and I'd like you to come and tell the Farnham Town Councillors what you're doing at Wade and Christian Centre, because we have a heart for young people particularly, and we want to look at ways that we can engage with young people in the area between Wade and Christian Centre and Wade and School. And it looks like you're interested in that area. And so I said, well, okay, we can, let's get together. And so I went and met with the town council in their great big room around their massive table, and just shared some of the things that we do. And we're just so proud of Yvain and Sarah and just the teams that involve all these different things. And I thought, wow, this sounds really good what we're doing. But they also thought it sounded really good in terms of what they were doing. And they said, look, can you write a proposal about ways that you might be able to partner with us to reach out into that area? And so I thought, well, I can write a proposal. And so I wrote a proposal that included a number of different things. I said, we'd do some research. Then I thought, how are we going to do that? And then I thought, Lindsay's here. It's all right, I can ask Lindsay. So Lindsay has done some wonderful research about this area and found out all sorts of things that I'm not sure even this area knows. It's not been an easy task, but it actually really impresses the town council when they hear that actually we've got people doing research in what the actual needs are. I said we'd gather people together, all the key people in the area, to have a little summit and develop a program called Transforming Lives for Good. It's something that Sarah and I had talked about. It's a national thing where that encourages charity, that encourages churches to engage with schools to mentor young people who are on the sort of edge of leaving school or in difficulties or whatever. And we just thought, wouldn't it be great to do that? In Heath End School, Vineyard do it. We thought, wouldn't it be great to do it here in Weydon School? So in the summer, Sarah and I met with Nick, who's the head of RE here, and started a whole program of talking about this work. And we're just getting really excited about it. We've got some meetings coming up for it. And in the context of that, I just find myself talking about all the other wonderful things we do, about Illuminate and all the work we do with the families with kids with additional needs, the When Dreams Change program, the SOFA group. And as I start talking about this, it's like, wow, this is amazing what actually our little church does in the area. Nikki and I Rick have been talking with Growing Hope, another big national charity that helps churches engage with families with kids with additional needs, and also helps churches set up clinics to offer therapeutic services for the kids as well. And we would love to set up a clinic at Weydon Christian Centre, able to help. And they're thrilled. The CEO, we've had some Zoom calls with, really keen to help set up a little charity. We're really keen to use Weydon Christian Centre for that. And it is a project that is really exciting. And as we talk about it with the council, things begin to, you think, wow, this is a big difference we're making in the area. We're talking to others about having some therapy sessions. For many of you know that a lot of young people go to the doctor, diagnosed, and then told they have to wait 6-9 months before they can get any help through CAMHS or whatever. That's a tragic gap, isn't it? We can't have kids being told, yeah, you're depressed, but wait, hang on. We need to be able to fill in the gap, offer some therapy sessions for that. And all these things sort of build towards our great little sort of vision for the second phase of development of our Weydon Christian Centre, which we talked to you about. If you remember, we've got this is the little centre here, our little building, and we want to put these two pods and a store and a little seating area. As I've talked with the council about all these different things, I said, this is what we want to do. We have these areas as well to be able to do some of this work. And you know what? They've caught the vision. And you think, wow, isn't this exciting? And so over the summer, I found out that they want to give us 15 grand, the Farnham Town Council, to extend Yvain and Sarah's hours to be able to do some of this work that we're looking at here. And that led to another conversation with Michaela, who's one of the Surrey County councillors, and I sat down with her in the Weydon Christian Centre, and she said, wow, this is a bit different inside than outside, isn't it? And I said, yeah, we want to make the outside look a bit better as well, and we've got a vision for doing this, and we want to do that. And you know what? It was like talking to somebody who was completely gripped by what, you know, I can't believe churches do this. And she said, well, I've actually got a grant making sort of facility as a county councillor. Would you mind if you apply for £25,000 to help you build your pods? And I thought, crumbs, isn't this exciting? Do you know what? I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Do you know what? This is amazing. I mean, all these things happen because of all of you serving in different ways, in different sort of capacities. You know, our youth group on a Friday has kids who you would never see on a Sunday. The Den has got families where we never see them on a Sunday. But we want to reach out to them. We want to start telling them about the good news as well, because we're his witnesses in Farnham and the area and around the world. I haven't got the time to tell you of the little cameos of God's grace that Sarah tells me about that happen at youth. The little conversations she has, or Hayley at Jabal, or at the Den, or little families there. The refresh thing over the 4 weeks pilots, just some wonderful stories. This week, first week back, wonderful. It would make you weep how you hear people talk. Haven't been out for 2 months. I've got this. I thought I'd come. And I just feel like this is just for me today. I mean, just amazing stories about how God is at work amongst us. And, you know, week on week we come here. But we, you know, for those who are involved, they know about some of the things that are happening. But do you know what? God is with us. And his spirit is bringing life to things in all sorts of ways. And, I mean, we need to be prayerful. We need to pray for Neil, who is just a superstar at planning applications. And, where is Neil? Is he here? Oh, I don't know if he's here. If he's not here. I mean, he is fabulous. I tell you what, give him a spreadsheet and he is amazing. I mean, he is phenomenal at how he keeps me in control and works things out. And, oh, Sean, I'll do that for you. I'll sort that out. We need to do this. I'll talk to the architect. You know, he's phenomenal. All the trustees are phenomenal. But we need to be prayerful for all of our trustees, all of those who are involved with all these different things, because it's prayer that actually is going to bring all this alive. But God is with us. He's with us in this sort of social action, that type of work that we're doing. I think he's with us with the center, and it's going to be a phenomenal place for us over the years to come. But he's also involved with this town, I believe. I think his heart is soft to Farnham. I mean, it's phenomenal that we've got 24/7 prayer now at Waverley Abbey House. There's the Redeemed Church of God is now at Pierpoint. I mean, I tell you, Farnham is becoming an epicenter for the gospel and for prayer in these next years to come. I mean, this is an exciting place to be if you love the Lord Jesus, because all sorts of things are happening. This autumn, I mean, one of the exciting things that happens in Farnham is that churches actually like each other. But, you know, actually, you know, if Jubilee didn't exist, I mean, there's lots of churches I'd go to in Farnham. And the leader, I love the leaders of the other churches. We meet, we pray, we even cry together. We hold each other when times are difficult. And we feel like we're on a mission together. For those at the beginning of Jubilee, you remember, I think it might have been Steve even brought it. We were a battalion joining an army. Was it in the first few weeks of Jubilee? You know, it's not all about Jubilee. There's an army that we've become part of, but that we were going to change the course of the battle. And you know what? We have changed the course of the battle in many ways in Farnham, playing our little part. I honour Andy and Rebecca and Ben for all they do with FCCT and the projects that happen collectively in the town. For those of you who don't know, Andy is wherever Andy is, somewhere. There's Andy, is the chair of FCCT. Ben just holds the whole thing together in lots of different ways. Rebecca's a trustee as well, does all the comms and stuff. They play a major role in the town, bringing churches together. And do you know what? That is a phenomenal thing that happens in the town. You might be not tuned into it, but I think it's over 2,500 people are fed in Farnham through Food Bank. I think it's 25,000 kilograms of food is distributed into Farnham. Farnham's wealthy, but there is real need in Farnham as well. Some of you are involved with those projects. The debt advice provides sort of counselling and debt advice for people. In these days, it is needed more than ever. The number of people that are needing help in that area is phenomenal. The work with bereaved families is now extending to teenagers who are bereaved. The schools work is phenomenal. The youth work is evolving. The support for families in need with just things like shoes and fridges and all that stuff has happened. Andy and Rebecca, Ben, all in part of making that happen. It's phenomenal what happens through the churches. And when I start talking about what the churches do together, do you know what? People who aren't in churches say, I just never knew that that happened. Just never knew that the churches were doing that. We get a lot of grief in the media churches, but people are beginning to realize that actually God's people are good news for a town. And it's not just all the social action and the feeding people, that sort of stuff. There's tremendous things that happen where church leaders come together for breakfasts. There's churches come together for prayer. I don't know many towns where churches come together to pray using each other's room, buildings. The one event up at Waverley, apart from the dodgy judging of the tug of war, apart from that, all other aspects of it were really good. There's not many places where people come together to worship and to pray for their town. David Uffedal and I and Andy are just looking at the whole way that churches together in Farnham and FCCT can come together. It's a tremendous unifying project in our town that's going on behind the scenes. That news of that will be flowing out through this term. And we're doing it with a great conviction that it's an answer to John 17 prayer that we see of Jesus, that as his people are one, what does it say? That the world will know that the Heavenly Father sent the Son. So isn't that, I mean, that's why I'm interested in all this sort of stuff, because the world will know that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's what Jesus prayed, his last prayer. And that's why we want to do these things. And I feel so excited about it. I feel like I'm part of a lot of it, but just watching the Lord doing a wonderful thing amongst the churches in the town. And I just, in 2025, there's going to be a wonderful, like an exhibition of all that the churches are doing together and celebration, so that we can begin to change a narrative that actually God's people who are with Jesus, who are becoming more like him and are doing as he's doing, make a difference in this town for good. We're given a lot of bad press these days, but do you know what? We want to change the narrative that actually God's people are good for the town, and that we, because we have the Spirit of God within us, are going to make a big difference. Honestly, you'd be so proud of Rebecca. I was in a meeting with her this week with some other people who are looking at the communications on it all, thinking, yeah, go for it, Rebecca. It's wonderful. Thank you, all of you who've been involved in all these different things. Social action is great. All what that we're doing to serve the community is great. It's important, all that stuff. It gives us credibility. It makes us authentic in terms of how people see us as believers, I think. But also, I think we need to share the good news in this time. We need to be sensitive. We don't want to preach when we're doing food bank, and we're not going to be sensitive in lots of different ways. But there are times where it is good to tell people about Jesus and to come together to share what is good news. It's familiar to us, but don't we even need good news at the moment? And so the churches in the autumn are coming together. And following that wonderful event, The Gathering, I don't know if years ago, when Rico Tice came. Incidentally, he's a great evangelist in the country. He's coming to Waden Christian Centre on the 19th. If any of you have got a heart to reach out, if you want to join us, you can. It's sort of all the commission hub and church leaders and Farnham church leaders are joining us. We want to serve them as well to sort of help us, inspire us, train us how to share the good news. That's just happening on the 19th. But across the town, through the autumn, they're, you know, following on from the Ocker mission that we had and then the mission with Glenn Scrivener. This autumn, we've got a mission with J. John. Now, J. John is quite old, but I would say is one of the most effective communicators of the gospel that our country has had over decades. And he's passionate, full of life, and he's agreed to come to Farnham on the 1st of December to lead our a massive carol service on Gostrey Meadows that all the churches are going to engage with. And the mission that we've been talking about them has got four components. One is this big carol service, be thousands of people there that he will preach the gospel at, and we'll have carols as well. But in the context of that, to lead up to that, the churches are coming together to do a couple of collaborative events, one around the theme of hope and one around the theme of peace. There's some tremendous sort of testimonial approach to it. It's going to be wonderful evenings of hope and where people can find peace through this autumn. They're sort of pre-evangelistic events. They're just really helping people to reflect on these areas to find some hope, find some peace in the run-up to Christmas. And at the events, all we'll do is point people to the carol service on the 1st of December. One's happening in October, one's happening in November as a sort of build-up towards that. But then that's the second thing. First thing, carol service. Second thing, the collaborative events. Third thing is then that each church is going to do their own outreach events in the run-up to the mission. And you know, I've never seen myself really as an evangelist. I sort of do the work of an evangelist, as the scripture points us to. But do you know what? I am super excited about what we're going to do this autumn. I think we've got some things, events emerging that are going to be like we've never had before. And the reason is I have a conviction that many of our friends and family are going to come to know Jesus this autumn. That's what I'm believing for. That's what I'm praying for. And I want to just facilitate that with some really cracking, fun events for us to invite people to over in October and November, so that we can then point people towards the carol service as well. So Saturday night outs are coming back. Pub quizzes. I'd love to have a murder mystery as well on a Saturday night to invite our friends to. Just cracking evenings. We've got the light party coming here. We're trying to work out how many kids we can get into the hall here. That's going to be a wonderful way of, again, getting the Refresh Cafe families and the Den families and the youth families involved with something that is positive. And then there is our Queen Esther event. For those who listen to that message, Anna McCallion, who is our Queen Esther, the one for such a time as this, is heading up this Lantern Festival. If you don't remember, then listen to my message around Queen Esther, because there's a wonderful story of how Anna's been asked to help at the end of Craft Month in the town, and it falls on Halloween, and Anna, bless her, said, "Like, I don't want to do a Halloween thing, but we could do something around light." What a wonderful thing to do. So there's a big lantern festival happening on Halloween evening as well. And I thought, I got a bit jealous, because I heard that my friend David Uffendall at St. Andrews had spoken to the town council and said, "Why don't all these lanterns end up in St. Andrews Church, like a display, to look pretty and stuff?" And I thought, oh, I wish I thought of that. But, you know, jealousy isn't a good thing. However, stealing good ideas is okay, I think. And so I got thinking. I thought, you know what? We could do some great events on the Friday and the Saturday after Halloween. And so I got talking with Chrissy and Nathan, and we're going to do some music events that are going to be so exciting. Music, some poetry, spoken words, really creative, all the lanterns, really pretty, wonderful evenings, canapes, drinks, wonderful evening of entertainment, but talking about paintings, talking about art, pointing people to the light in a really soft way, not in a big preachy way, but saying that there can be light in the darkness. That's going to be the title. And because we know that the darkness can't overcome the light, don't we? And so, great events. I'm really excited about that. The men's ministry team are going to do something in one of their breakfasts that's sort of designed to invite people to. I want to have doing a little Christmas Revive Cafe, not just for the Refresh Cafe with kids, but a cafe just for adults who don't have kids as well. Be lovely to do something like that. We've got the Nativity service happening, and we want to do a Christmas cafe service again like we did last time. All of these are going to be events that we can invite our friends to, that are going to be fabulous events that we're proud of, but that point people somewhere. That's what we want to do through this autumn. And then, I mean, I've got the most exciting job in the whole world, I then met with Nathan about the carol service that we're going to be doing. And you know what? I've been excited about all of the carol services we've ever done. And we've done some massive carol services, haven't we? Angels and all sorts of stuff. This one, it's called The Journey. And as Nathan's talked about it, I thought, do you know what? I've got such faith for this. This is going to be great fun. We got real animals. Hopefully. We're thinking of not doing it here, but doing it at Wadham Christian Centre in the garden under a stretch tent. Even more fancy, we might actually start in the field at the top of St. John's Road, where there will be a star and people will gather and there'll be a carol sung. And then we will be on a journey down to Wadham Christian Centre to hear more carols, to see kings and see angels. We were going a little bit over the top when I can't quite remember, I think it was Nathan, who said, could we get angels on the roof? And so I've got like zip wires in my mind. No, I know, I haven't got it. Don't worry. Do you know what? I'm run two services. That way we can have more people come. And not only that, what we do it outside in a stretch tent, because inside the hall, we can start putting some little displays up about what we're wanting to do, what we are doing, how people can connect with what's going on, about the Refresh Cafe, about the vision for the pods, the provision of care that is in this town, the way that this is becoming a hub for the community, that's impacting the community. And I got so excited about it. I've got the best job. And then all of these things pointing to, in January, ways that people can follow up the journey that they're starting of faith. And do you know what? I'm believing that people are going to be impacted, and we are going to see this room full of people who have just become Christians through the autumn time. That's what I'm believing for. I mean, there's a whole load of other things happening. We've got safeguarding training. Sarah does a brilliant job with that. We've got the kids' teams are going to do a vision and values evening. There's all sorts of stuff going on behind the scenes, sort of administratively, with databases and admin systems, all sorts of stuff, which the trustees, staff, all sorts of things are happening. But it's all to serve a mission that we are on, because we're Christ's people. Amen? And do you know what? All this serving of the community, all of this outreach to share the good news of Jesus, we just need to pray, don't we? We need to up our... I need to up my prayer. We need to up our prayer. I think there's... So we've put in prayer meetings. We've had... This summer we didn't pray much as a church. Yvain said that at the staff meeting, oh, we need to pray more. And, you know, she's dead right. We need to be praying more for these things. We need to get along to the interchurch prayer meetings if we can. I think we really want to be supportive of those. They do something in the heavenlies that we don't even appreciate. When we get to glory, we will understand what doing things like that, the impact of it. But do you know what? I'd love us all to be praying individually, praying for people that we know, who we can invite to these events that are happening. Pray for our neighbours. Really up our game in prayer. Now, some of us find that easier than others. And if you find it hard, this is your moment to start to pray. There's no reason you shouldn't. Even if it's like a minute in the morning, pray. As we're breaking bread in a minute, I think the Holy Spirit's going to put particular people on your heart to invite to some of these events. And don't just think that's like your mind wandering. That's the Spirit of God coming to inspire you to bring people to mind. And as they do you know what? Pray for those people. If you've got family members who don't know the Lord, this is a time to pray. If you've got neighbours who you've been talking to for years, it's the time to pray. If you've got neighbours who you've never spoken to, it's probably a time to talk to them as well and pray. You know, we've got people who we've known from Joe 30 years ago at the school gate who we still meet with, who Hayley's faithfully invited to every carol service. Mostly they haven't come. But, you know, it's time to pray. It's time to pray for these people. And as we pray and the Spirit does something in our hearts, you know what? A wonderful thing is going to happen this time. Are you catching some of my enthusiasm? Yes. And is that turning into your own enthusiasm? It really, I think this is a time like we've not had entered before. The fields are white under harvest, Jesus said, didn't he? We're credible with people in the town who have got no clue about Jesus, but hear what we're doing and say, what? Well, they're different. That's different. You know, George said, can I come and train people how to use the coffee machine? Can I come to the youth and just see and help them make hot chocolate? You know, can I? And I think there's like a turning. There's a sort of moment where wow. As we talk to the school, pray blessing that we're able to see folks. Sarah's looking to set a CU up here at the school of those who are Christian young people in this school. There's all sorts of things beginning to happen, and it's a time to pray and to really seek God and to know his infilling Spirit to empower us. So it's not like a burden. It's not like a whole load of things I've got to do. It's not like a list of things that I think, oh, it just sounds exhausting. Do you know what? There might only be one thing that you come to of all the list with your mate. But it's the one thing where they just hear something that starts a journey in their lives that is phenomenal. Is that all right? I'm sorry, I've gone on a bit long there. There was one other notice that I wanted to make and that is also part of our autumn that is a very exciting thing. And that is, we've been looking at the eldership and we want to develop the eldership team. For those of you who are visiting or are newer, we planted a church in Borden, Life Spring Church. And since we set elders in there and have set them up as their own church, we've been thinking about Farnham as well and how we could develop the eldership. Can I just say, as a church, we are really blessed with the elders that we've got. You know, Nathan, Neil, Rick are fabulous. Me as well. As I meet with them, I just love them dearly. I feel just so pleased to be co-workers with them. They all bring different gifts to the mix. It's so creative, so humbling, really. They're humble. They're passionate for God. I'm believing that it's time to bring somebody else into that mix. And I think it's time for Toby to join the eldership team. Now some of you will be saying, isn't he an elder already? Because he preaches, he's involved with youth, he's involved with all sorts of things. Went to New Day, served at New Day. But I think this is the time for Toby. Toby and Io are amazing. I mean, they are a joy. They radiate the Lord Jesus. They are a wonderful family. It's been a joy just to get to know them, to have them been involved with Jubilee, just to meet with them. And right from when I saw them, I wondered, would they be people who come to the fore in Jubilee? And for a couple of years, it's been a journey. We never like to rush these things. But January, when Angela was with us, it was like a moment, if you remember, that particular Sunday. It was like a before and after moment. And I think after that, when Toby prayed in that service, I thought, he's an elder. amongst us. And I've just been so excited to be on this journey with them. For those of you who are newer to Jubilee, we have a team of elders who are like the spiritual responsibility for the church, and we try and gear it around what the Bible teaches about it. That's why we call them elders, although it's a funny sort of phrase in our culture, as it were. But in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1, there's a sort of list of the characteristics of elders. 1 Timothy 3 says this: "Here's a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an elder desires a noble task. Now, the elder is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. Man must manage his family well and see that his children obey him. He must do that in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his family, how can he take care of the church of God? He must not be a recent convert. He mustn't be conceited, or he may become conceited and fall under the judgment of the devil. He must have a good reputation with others so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap." That's what the Bible says about elders. It's much more about character and about the person than it is about what they actually do. And I want to commend to you, Toby is a phenomenal man of God. We got him preaching in COVID. I think he wasn't even preaching. He was leading a prayer meeting, and he did a little preach. And this was back in COVID times in the garden. And I thought, he is phenomenal. And passion for God, passion for the word, I think it's the time. And so our process, just as in Jubilee, as we, as elders, sort of are continually looking out for people who are potential elders, prayerfully considering people, and as we sort of question or do that, we sort of look at who's eldering amongst us already, really. That's what we're trying to find. And once we see the potential, we meet with them and the family, and we eat it together. That's very important. Not sure it's in the scriptures, but it is very important. And families get together, there's prayer, conversation, never in a rush, but purposeful, wanting to be intentional. And we've been doing that with Toby. He's been joining us in our elders' meetings for the summer term. And we're at the point now where we want to be accountable as elders in that journey. So we do two things. One is we talk to our network of churches, and Andy LaRue, who is one of our hub leaders, is going to be meeting with Toby and Io this week. Andy, just so that those who don't know him, is pastors a church in Odeon, but was involved with the starting of Jubilee all those years ago. He was actually the one who had prophesied in the first training week of Jubilee, where I had hired the Wading Christian Centre from Pioneer People. He said, "Sean, you're going to have this building." And I thought, how can you say that? We are the new boys on the block. That's so rude to say that, but actually he was right. So he's going to come. So he's going to meet, and then and what we want to do is to ask you, is there reasons Toby shouldn't be an elder amongst us? And if there is, if you've seen him, you know, crawling out of a nightclub with somebody other than Io, then we want to know. In fact, Io would want to know as well. and then we need to, if you know that he's, you know, running some, you know, corrupt business scheme somewhere, we want to know that sort of thing, in case you do. But if there's reasons we shouldn't, we want to hear that. We want to be accountable for that in the church. It's not like a vote, as it were. We don't do that. But we want to hear people's views. If there's concerns, questions, we want to hear that. If you're really thrilled, we want to hear that as well. That's great to know. It's not just bad stuff. It's anything we want to hear. And so if you want to take the time just to send me a note or Rick a note, we'd love just to be able to consider all of that, and then assuming nothing comes out of that process, and assuming nothing comes out when Andy meets with them, then on the 22nd we'll be confirming that that's what we want to do, and then on the 29th we'll be praying for Toby to become an elder amongst us. And I think God has got particular purpose for that, that is phenomenal. And I'd love us to give them another clap. There's some people you just learn from the whole time. And I think every time I speak to Toby, I feel I've learned something. Just particularly around me, as being a white man in Farnham, I can be blind to some things. And for me, Toby has been so helpful to understand some issues of diversity. And you know, I just feel I'm learning from him the whole time. So I'm thrilled that he has finally said yes, even though it's taken quite a long time. But we'll get over that. We're going to break bread now. I've been way too long. I'm so sorry. But hopefully you've had grace for me, because I think it's important what we're saying. But we're going to finish with breaking bread now.